Hey everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 240, and today we're going to do part one of how to determine when and how to write creative financing offers. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. If you're not part of the community, just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook and ask to join. There will be a live session on the second Thursday of every month, so bring your questions. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can ask your questions in the comments below. Lastly, we want to thank you for subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with your friends.
So here we are again for another episode, and I thought we should try to do something that I get a lot of questions about, which is, where do you start? How do you figure out what would potentially be a creative finance lead? Once you get a lead, what do you do? What are the steps? And so I'm going to, for the, at least the first couple of episodes in this series, I'm going to let Cody do it. So we're going to get a little different perspective. Cody was in our training, but Cody now has his own business, and I'm kind of curious, hey, how does he deal with these kinds of leads? And then I'll probably do some, and who knows, we may even get Nicole to do some down the road. So, so let's have some fun. I hope this will be a good training for everyone and very, very helpful. So, Cody, let's start with, you get a lead, right? You have leads that come into your CRM, and what do you do with them initially? And yeah, then how do you determine where to go with it?
Yeah. So are you talking about once they're already screened, or just the first step in general before
So you're generating leads, and you're doing a lot of texting. Is that right?
We do primarily texting and cold calling. So we'll reach out to a good amount of people every day. And as people respond, that either say they're interested or they just pick up the call on the cold calling side. Okay. We'll go through our script, screen them, and get all the kind of necessary information on the condition and situation of the property.
So let's start with that right there. Let's start with when, and I assume it's not you that's pre-screening these calls, right? You have others that are doing that.
So I'm still doing some of it.
Okay.
We talked about a little bit. I'm offloading that soon, but the cold calling is all third party. So it's nothing that I'm doing. For the texting, I have somebody send them, and then I will call the people that are interested. And then I also do the offer writing and the follow-up.
So are you asking your leads, are they open to creative finance in some way or another? Or how do you do that?
Yeah. So when we're on the call, there's a few things that we're really trying to get after. So understand the basics of the condition of the property, their situation, which would be like their motivation, their timeline to sell, asking price, and then if they're open to terms or not.
Okay.
Because once we have all that information, it's pretty easy to take the next steps and write offers and get everything together. But it's really important. That's what all the cold callers are learning as well, to get that foundation to make the rest of the process a lot easier.
So are there certain specific questions? I assume you're asking if there's any money owed on the property. How do you lead into this is what I'm trying to say. So how do you get to the creative finance questions?
Yeah, so I usually have them ask about the asking price first.
Okay.
And if it's a lot below what Zestimate says or the market value, great, we might be able to do a cash offer. If it's pretty close or near there, they then go to, okay, if we're able to pay near that asking price, are you open to taking payments for the property long term?
Okay.
Then if they say they are, okay, great. Is there any debt owed on the property that we would have to structure this around? Okay, how much is on the mortgage? How much are your monthly payments? We figure out if those payments are PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, or just the principal and interest. So we try to get all the debt information, as well as if there's any liens or back taxes, things like that, that could be a problem when we go to write offers.
Sure. Good. What about, do you have any questions in regards to what kind of down payment they would be open to, or how long of a term they might be willing to do, anything like that?
Yeah. So when I'm doing it myself, I do dig a lot more into that. I ask them, okay, is there an amount you would need as far as the down payment goes? We typically do little to no money down on our financing. So try to get an idea of what they need there. And then for the term, I'll say something along the lines of, a lot of people we work with will go as long as 30 years. Do you have a like a duration of how long you would want it to go? And then get a good idea there. And then we structure the payment around the debt. I don't usually ask about interest rate. Those are kind of the two big ones. So that down payment and then the term.
A man after my own heart there.
Yeah. It's almost like you taught me everything I know.
and yet you do it a little bit, you do it your way, which is totally fine. And very similar, but a little different phrasing, right? And that's totally fine. Okay, so and if you get that information, Cody, and when I say all of it, like you've got the underlying debt, you got a monthly payment, they've said yes to being open to terms, you have an idea of where they need to be down payment wise, and you at least have a range of what they might be open to and as far as terms go, does that make it easier for you?
Oh yeah, that makes it like 10 times easier to not be guessing, to know exactly what that seller wants. And I still may not be able to make it happen, but at least I can take those next steps and run the comps and everything and figure out if it is something we can make a deal.
Right. I totally agree. And so, Nicole, you know this process too, right?
Yeah.
Same, very similar to what you've dealt with, what you do. Do you do anything differently, or would that be something very similar?
It's pretty similar, but the wording might be a little different. And I actually stole, this is part of the reason why I love doing this podcast, because I get to learn from Cody and you. So I did steal like that, like figuring out their asking price first and then asking, you know, like if they're willing to take payments.
Sure.
So doing it in that order seems to get them, it's like an easier transition, if that makes sense. Yeah, to do it that way.
Absolutely.
So it's helped a lot.
Yep.
In that order.
Good. All right. So now, Cody, you actually have an idea if creative finance may work, right? That if they tell you no, do you make them creative financing offers?
A lot of times, no. What I'll try to do is try to understand if it's something where they're just not knowing what it is. So their instinct is to say no.
Yep.
So I'll dig a little bit more into the motivation and understand if it could work for them. And then I'll go with, okay, the only reason I ask is because if you don't need all that money up front, it's a way we can pay more for the property. You make interest on it over time. If you think it's a good fit for you, we can talk through it. If not, no worries at all.
Yeah.
Because if I were them, a lot of times I would just say no as like a gut response. Like,
right.
Thank you, though.
Right. And some people will say yes with having no idea what it means, right?
For sure.
You know, then you start writing offers and they're like, no, that's not what I thought. And being able to dig just a little bit deeper will make your job significantly easier rather than, I might be open to taking payments for your equity. And then when you or me or Nicole or whomever goes back to look at those leads and you're like, okay, maybe they're open to it, but we don't know really anything that they're open to. It's like, now do you make no money down offers, or do you offer them, you know, 7% down payment, 3% interest, 0%, 6%, 3 years, 10 years, 20. It's
a lot of variables,
game, right? So
yeah.
If you can start to narrow those down, it does make life significantly easier. It doesn't make it 100%, like, okay, now we can make this all work, but at least we have some direction.
So, yeah, and one thing I want to add on to your point, you said if they say they're not open to it, I try to explain a little bit more.
Yep.
Even if they say right away, if I ask, hey, are you open to taking payments long term if I can meet this price? Yeah, I'm open to it. Okay, are you familiar with how that works? Have you done it in the past? Nope, no idea. And so I try to give them some
That's
foundation, just a
awesome.
high level
That's
of
a
how it
really good
works.
thing. Yep.
Do
Because
you?
then they're not surprised.
Exactly.
Does that ever cause like confusion? Because I know, Jeff, like you, also teach us like we don't want to, or you say to us like we don't want to teach or, like overly explain something to a seller. So you're just doing this like very high level of what they would be looking at, I guess, like what kind of terms.
But before Cody even answers that, let me guess how he's going to respond to it, because my guess is that he is going to explain it, but it's going to be in very general terms, to try to simplify it. Go ahead, Cody. How would you explain it?
Yeah, so what I say is basically it's like you're the bank. So we would make a down payment to you up front, some monthly payments with interest, and then pay out the remainder of the equity to you a little bit down the road. Is that something that you'd be interested in? If so, we can talk through it and get you some more specifics. So it's, yeah,
I'm
it's not.
stealing that.
Totally, yeah, the same thing would be, I love, hey, we're going to make you the bank. And but being the bank is a good thing, right? Bank's got all the big buildings, has all the money. You're going to get a better price for your property. It may give you some tax benefits over some time. You may make even more money than your purchase price. I like to say, may, right? May, because if you're setting them up like with interest, that now they're going to come to expect it. And before I want to make any commitments, I want to do a little research and what will work best for me. But again, whatever works, right? So, and just because you say something doesn't mean that you got to offer it. But my experience has been, let's not set many expectations, right? Because doing creative finance is a little more in depth than just throwing out a cash price and being able to do it and doing it, semi responsibly, I should say, because if you're trying to look at Zillow while you're on the phone having a conversation determining what value is at least for me, it would be very questionable. I'm just trying to determine a ballpark number quickly, and I don't know that I'm ready to stand by that number. So in creative finance, I'm definitely not ready to stand by like interest rate or down payment or term. I need at least a couple of minutes to take in all the information, look at the due diligence, the comps, the rental comps, that kind of stuff. But excellent. I think that's a great way of trying to do things. All right. So we spent a lot more time on the pre-screening of the seller, but I really think it's an important part of this, right? That I think this is where people fail, and then they just throw out these things, and certainly some of it sticks, right? And we're moving into a market that is different than where we've been the last several years, which is last several years everyone was asking top dollar, and even though creative finance did work, it wasn't working the same way as it's going to work now, which is you're going to see more people open to the idea. And now you're going to have people that can't just say, well, I'll just put it on the market and sell it in 2 days and get my price or more. Those days are probably gone for quite a while now. So, all right. So let's not do too much more. But Cody, at that point, now what are you going to do with this lead? Where do you go from here? They've given you that information. What now?
So if you open the screen sharing, I'll share real quick. But
It's
my next
open.
step would be to run comps. So
Okay.
let me pull this up. Let me know if you can see it.
Yep.
So I'll zoom in a bit here. So when I get all that information, I pre-screen them and I've walked through it. And I know this is a little not messy, but weird to look at. And I'll share this in our Facebook group. Feel free to check that out. I'll put a link to it in there.
Cool.
But for every property I get, I'll fill this out. I'll try to get three three to four comparables, depending on what it is or where it is. Compare them on bedrooms, bathrooms, year built, and square footage. So those are kind of the main four criteria. And then I'll look at when they last sold.
And so I would assume the fifth criteria, which isn't on here, is proximity, right? That it's got to be within a, no, there it is, certain distance. And distance isn't really even the best requirement. It's, you know, boundaries, which may be really close. So
yeah, and so I run comps. So for Utah, where I work, I have access to the MLS, so I can run comps on there. And
much easier.
I put a box in where the main roads are and keep it all contained in there, run comps. In other markets that I work in, I try to get MLS access. I don't use Zillow much, so luckily
Good. So do you have it in Kansas City?
I do. It's not direct MLS, but it's like similar to that. So
that's right. You have that
RPR or whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember, but yes. Okay.
So I run comps through here. I try to get three to four, and these are all the criteria. I don't use these ones quite as often, the garage, carport adjustment. So sold date, distance, square footage, years built, beds and baths.
Okay.
And so I'll use that through MLS, and then I'll also run rental comps for the property to be able to see if I'm doing owner financing, what that monthly payment may be reasonable to be.
Okay.
I use Rentometer for running all my rental comps, and then I just try to look in as condensed of an area as possible. And then I'll go to PropStream, get the tax data, so I can try to get as accurate of a monthly payment as possible. So that would be included. And then I estimate repairs based on the square foot. So after I get all that information, I'll have my ARV, I'll have my estimated repairs, and I'll get a cash offer spit out to me.
Okay, so that would be your wholesale. So that's the Mayo with a wholesale fee of 20,000.
Yeah, with the fee, with the multiplier and all that stuff.
Got it.
But after that, I mean, obviously I look at a lot more owner financing.
Yep. Well, so let me ask about that really quick before we get to the creative finance. So it looks like, what are you at? 30, 60,
zoom 90?
In. 70%. I see you have different. So I'm just trying to figure out your formula for your cash offer. So it's
my formula for my cash offer is right here. So ARV, or what is it? Yeah, ARV times my multiplier minus estimated repairs minus my wholesale fee.
Okay. Yeah. And 0.83, if you haven't seen it change, it's changing.
So I do Kansas City, I do closer to 0.7.
Yeah.
And usually in Utah, I'm closer to 0.8.
Yeah.
Which may be pushing it a little bit, but I know Utah is a little better of a market in that regard.
Yep. Good. Okay. Go back now. Go to your creative finance.
Yeah. So usually at this point, I've got the information I need from my perspective to start writing an offer. So I understand what it's worth, which is the biggest thing for me with owner financing, the repairs. And if these are too high, that could be an issue. So then I'll go over and start writing offers here and just start playing with the numbers a little bit.
Yep.
So I'll get my down, let's say 300,000 is what it's worth. And they're asking 280. So I may start in here at 280. I like to start with a 5% down payment unless they've specified otherwise. I try to understand there. So I'll go and this is about 5%.
Yep.
And then I'll pull up my financial calculator. And then work through the numbers, get the monthly payment, and then play with that. And I try to make it so the monthly payment is reasonable as far as rent goes, which I know yours is a little bit different. But that's what I've been doing lately. Let's say the rent on average is $1,700. I try to make sure the monthly payment is a bit below that.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to mark it up if I want to stay in the middle.
Sure. And
keeping it under that's important to me.
And I really think it's going to be based on what market you're dealing in, right? Because you're in, if that's Kansas City, the rents are significantly better in terms of purchase price than like if you were dealing in Utah. And so you can still keep it around that rental rate. Do you figure out, hey, if I'm offering $280 with $15,000 down, are you doing any calculations just to figure out what a monthly payment would be, you know, at maybe 4% or maybe even more like current market payments, you know, just to give you kind of an idea of where that payment may fall, right?
Yeah, so if I'm paying $280, $15,000 down, that'd be $265 here. And then I'll, like you said, go with some different rates. I've been starting at 3.
Mm-hmm.
People haven't had an issue with 3 too much lately. So I'll start there and see, okay, that's 1117. Or about $1,100.
Yep.
Say their monthly payment is $1,200. All right, well, that won't work. I need to make sure I get a bit higher.
Yep.
Let's try 3.5. All right, still not quite there.
Yep.
4. All right, 4 is above that. And I'm usually able to talk to them and say, all right, yeah, this is just principal and interest. We're also going to pay taxes on top of that.
Yep.
So you'll be making more than it might look like.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe I start with a 4%.
Yep.
And with that, I still have plenty of room between that monthly payment and what we've got here as far as a rental comp would go.
Yep. Very good. I like it. All right. So if that, can we go back to your LOI?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're playing around with the payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you, when you're doing this, what's going through your mind? Like, Who is your potential buyer on this, right? So
yeah. So my favorite exit strategy right now, which I started getting into more, is staying in the middle and selling it to an owner-occupant.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I look at other ones, but that's what I've been wanting to do so I can continue to basically be a bank myself.
Passive income.
Exactly. So that's a lot of what I'm looking at, and that's part of the reason I look at this rent. Because people want to be, or they're okay with paying what they're renting right now.
Sure.
If they're going to place instead.
Yep.
So, for
and
example,
they may even be willing to pay a little more because there's going to be some tax benefits, right? They're going to get some tax breaks by owning rather than renting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And so that's why I look at that rent number. And then as I go to fill that out, I have them in mind specifically. Because let's say someone like that, and I'm paying 4% amortized over 30 years. Someone that you're doing that with may be open to paying 6% on the exit or 7.
Well, six is less than what they could go if they have a credit and go to the bank, right? So 7 is certainly reasonable as long as the payment's not outrageous. And you can see the payment's getting up there pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, that what would be the goal is to get, you know, 9.5, 9.75, but put in 9.75. Let's see what the payment would be. Yeah. It's getting high.
That hurts my soul.
So one other small thing I look at when I'm doing this is if I can mark these two up on the exit as well.
Sure.
So if the house is worth $300, doesn't really need many repairs, I can probably sell it for $310.
Right.
And get, what would that be, $35,000 down?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd still be the same number here.
35, 30, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, about 30 down. Mm-hmm. So let's say we do 30 down. I think that's right. No.
Yep. Yeah. 210, yep. Or 310.
Yeah, so that would be very high.
Yep.
So if I was, I would probably feel comfortable starting at 7.
Yeah. Certainly within the range. And if this is a good house in a good area, mm-hmm. you know, you're providing something that people can't get.
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's great.
So that's what I've been looking at quite a bit. It's been my primary exit strategy.
So what I want to do, you know, other than I'm going to ask Nicole if she has any other questions, but I think I want to stop here and then we're going to pick up next episode because I want to see, you know, you have option 2 down there and mm-hmm. I don't know what else may continue if there's other offers, but let's explore that a little more in the next episode. And then in our third episode, we're just gonna give you something and let you work through it. So, okay, Nicole, was that helpful for you?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I like that spreadsheet, Cody, because it, like, we do those same equations all the time. Like, so to have them out, because I'll forget, right? Like, if I'm trying to put a mock or offer together, I'm like, oh yeah, how do I do what's mayo again? Like, you know, like trying to remember all that, but to see it on a spreadsheet, and I guess I work with spreadsheets all day long. So, it made sense. I like that.
Good. I really like, how you start just playing with some of the numbers, right? And there may, and the time may already have come when someone's asking 280, maybe you're not offering 280 anymore, right? Where, hey, I'll give you 273 or 270, and they should be happy with that. Maybe not quite yet, but heading that way for sure.
Yeah.
All right, any last thoughts? And we'll wrap this one up and we will move into our next episode.
Nothing from me.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you both. And go out and create some fun.